Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Jen Duffy, and thank you so much for joining us tonight for this edition of the Happy Healthy Hour. Callers can dial in to 646-716-9397 and press 1 at any time if you want to be on the air and placed in the queue. I'll be taking questions, comments, and ideas from the audience throughout the show. So today's topic is detoxing your life. And there's a lot of information out there right now about detox diets and the need to get rid of the toxins in your body. But what are toxins? Essentially, they're a substance that have the ability to harm us if they're not properly processed. But here's the thing. Our bodies actually have a natural ability to detoxify some of the toxins we interact with. But our internal organs, you know, they have this built-in mechanism to do so. But the question is, why are we so toxic then? And it's because our exposure to chemicals has really grown exponentially over the last years, and our daily interaction with chemicals, you know, happens so frequently. And so there's a lot of work being done now to really understand the impact of these toxins. For example, there's the Human Toxome Project at the Environmental Working Group, and they're working to define what they call the human toxome, which is the full scope of industrial pollution in humans. And these scientists are using cutting-edge biomonitoring techniques to test for industrial chemicals like bisphenol A or BPA and perchlorate that enter the body through pollution and ingredients in the consumer products that we use daily. And several studies by the environmental group had identified a total of 167 chemicals in the blood and urine of the average individual. And for a lot of these chemicals, there's actually evidence beginning to support that they are cancer-promoting potentially or can potentially cause neurotoxic damage to the body. And so we really want to try and figure out ways to reduce our exposure to chemicals on a daily basis because the long-term health implications are pretty significant, and it's, you know, becoming more and more apparent as more research on this is done. And so when we talk about some of these toxins, we're really talking about the external toxins, such as environmental pollutants, mercury in fish, lead that's in old paint, aluminum that's in deodorants and in acids, molds from rooms that aren't properly controlled, such as basements and bathrooms, poor air quality and sick building syndrome, contaminated water and food, the smoke that you breathe in, the chemicals that are in household cleaners and personal care products, BPA that's found in soft plastics, and UV radiation. And then some of the internal toxins we're looking at are really when there is chronic infection or, you know, allergic reactions that get built up and sensitivities such as to gluten and dairy or egg and corn. And even medications, even though medications are meant to heal, there can be buildup over time that needs to be processed. And so we're also going to talk about toxic behaviors as well in today's discussion. And since all of these things combined really put stress on the body's natural ability to detoxify and stay healthy. And when we talk about toxic behaviors such as dietary, and so consuming high quantities of trans fat and high fructose corn syrup, processed foods, refined flours, and excessive stress, putting excessive stress on the body and the mind hinders the body's ability to naturally detoxify. And so we'll talk about how we can limit our exposure to these toxins by looking at what we eat, what we put on our bodies, in through our skin, and in our surroundings, and as well as the mental detoxification in the sense of how we deal with stress and let go of behaviors that don't serve us but rather stress us and make it harder for our bodies to just process everything that we're exposed to. But first, before we get started, the regular feature of the Happy Healthy Hour, what I'm drinking. And so I generally, for those of you who have been listening now for a few shows, I try to feature a healthy drink I make on the show. But today, my Saturday morning started off just so great that I had to share. I went to beach yoga this AM with an amazing yoga teacher that I just recently had the privilege to meet, Yoga with Jean, if you're on Long Island. And after class, he had a sample of green juice from a new company called Juice Maniacs. And oh my goodness, it was delicious. It was called Revitalized Greens, and I thought it was so perfect to talk about on today's show. and it has kale, cucumber, parsley, apple, ginger, lemon, and lime in it. And the company works with local New England organic farmers, and the ingredients are 100% organic. And I really just loved the name because so many people I know that have started juicing or drinking juice really do get hooked. And, you know, I still think it's very important to eat your food, but drinking veggie juices is such a great way to get the nutrients in as well. And for me personally and for my mom, we talk about how we used to get afternoon slumps before we got more into nutrition and, you know, would crave something, some sugary or salty snack. And now the juice usually helps because, you know, you don't get that sugar craving. It kind of, you have an afternoon juice and it gives you really a good energy boost for the rest of the day, and it helps keep sugar cravings at bay. And, you know, people that have drink juice do get a little hooked and can be juice maniacs. So I'm really excited about this company, and you can check them out at juicemaniacs.com. And while the sample I had this morning was provided gratis, my endorsement is my own personal opinion because it really tasted delicious, and I love that they use 100% organic ingredients. So if you're just tuning in now, you are listening to the Happy Healthy Hour on the Life Coach Radio Network. Listeners can call in 646-716-9397. And I hope you also check out some of the other shows on the network. There's a really great lineup with amazing coaches who have a wealth of knowledge and insight to share. So on to today's topic, detoxing your life. Let's start with chemicals, you know, really about the actual intake of chemicals through the food, our environment, and things that we're wearing or using as body products. And so you really want to try and decrease your toxic exposure. And some of the ways to do that would be reducing the use of toxic household cleaners and opt for some healthier alternatives. There's a lot that can be done with baking soda and vinegar. And if you Google on the internet healthy alternatives household cleaners, there's a lot of great articles out there and suggestions and recipes to make different types of cleaners to work with replacing some of the ones that you've been buying. You know, I think Seventh Generation and Burt's Bees also are two great companies that have been more cognizant about what they're putting in their products. The Environmental Working Group does put out a report on cleaners and on skincare products, so that's a good way to kind of get a sense of really what's in the products from a chemical perspective, and really trying to reduce the amount of chemicals in your personal care products. When you think about from the moment you get up in the morning, take that shower, wash your hair, wash your body, wash your hands. You know, think about each interaction that you have with all those products and really take a look at them and read the labels and read the ingredients and decide if this is something that, you know, really needs to be in your life or if there might be a more natural alternative. And also, take a look at your surroundings and the type of air that you're breathing in. Indoor air tends to be generally poorer quality than outdoor air. So weather permitting, try opening a window to get some fresh air in, even if it's really just for 5 or 10 minutes a day, and include plants that improve air quality. And plants can make a big difference in helping to cycle through the air that you're breathing in. Spider plants, the Boston fern, English ivy, those are all good plants that improve air quality. And actually, a shocking thing, or maybe not so shocking, but just surprising, is when you think about your daily interaction, something that I recently learned that was surprising to me is the impact that paper receipts can have. So when you go to a store and make a purchase, nearly 40% of the printed receipts that you get are coated with BPA. And the big problem with BPA, which is also in canned foods, it's been linked to cancer, obesity, diabetes, infertility, and heart disease. And so BPA dusted on the receipt surfaces, they activate the printing dye, but it can rub off on your fingers and enter your bloodstream. So if you really have to get, you know, a receipt, you might be able to ask for an emailed version. And if you do have to get a paper one, you know, wash your hands as quickly as you can with soap and water. And that, you know, might help mitigate that. But that was just one of the really mundane interactions of getting receipts at stores that I didn't even realize was affecting your toxic load. There's a great article by Dr. Frank Lippmann, and he has an article on 20 ways to detox your home. And it's really pretty comprehensive and has some good suggestions. So I would encourage you checking that out. And, you know, he writes that the average home contains 500 to 1,000 chemicals, and many of them we're not able to see, smell, or taste. So They can be tolerated often in small doses, but the problems can really arise when they're, you know, used in combination or we're getting exposed to them in larger doses. And really everyone's tolerance for the chemicals is different. You know, it depends on genetics, nutritional status, previous interaction with chemicals. But, you know, generally the negative effects of the household toxins are further compounding by, you know, the foods that we eat if they are processed and packaged, and then also the use of, you know, other drugs and, you know, even alcohol and, you know, prescription drugs. You know, they all have, you know, a role, but they also are essentially a toxin that can be impacting your internal organs. And so some suggestions for detoxing the home include taking off your shoes in the house. And when you wear your shoes in the house, a lot of the household dirt and pesticides and lead, they come in on your shoes. So if you take your shoes off near the entryway, you're preventing some of the toxins and the chemicals you might be experiencing outside from bringing it indoors. And also put mats by the doorway to wipe the shoes so that, you know, you can keep some of that dirt and residue not coming in the house. And like we talked about, keeping the air clean is really important. You can use the plants, green plants, as natural air detoxifiers. You can use baking soda to remove odors. And try to stay away from the spray or the plug-in air fresheners, because along with the scents, they also emit phthalates, which are a toxin that can lead to potentially infertility and obesity. And more this is coming out with from their studies, you know, linking those chemicals to these health conditions. So, you know, things that are heavily fragranced can be troublesome. I think it's better, you know, from what I've read and from, you know, what I've heard from other people working in this field, there's so many natural alternatives that can eliminate odors and put out a good, fresh, clean scent that isn't harmful to the air that you're breathing in. And so, like we talked about before as well, switching the household cleaning products to cleaner and greener ones. And there's a lot of ingredients around the house, you know, using vinegar in place of bleach and the baking soda to scrub your tiles, or using peroxide to remove stains. There's a great book called Better Basics for the Home, and there's an author named Annie Bond, and she wrote this book, and she really says you can clean anything with five basic ingredients, being baking soda, washing soda, distilled white vinegar, vegetable-based liquid soaps, and tea tree oil. So, you know, like I said before, definitely spend some time on the internet and see if you can come up with some, you know, make your own at home products. And beyond simply being cleaner and greener, they can often be more cost effective as well. Use plastics wisely. And, you know, there's a lot of plastic in our daily lives, and I think there's a lot of, you know, convenience associated with plastic, and it's pretty impossible, I would think, to eliminate plastic completely from your life. But avoid plastic food packaging when you can, and try not to wrap food in plastic, and definitely don't microwave food in plastic containers, because, you know, when things heat up, their ability to leach those chemicals into the food is higher. And if you have, you know, children, choosing the baby bottles that are made from glass or BPA-free plastic, and particularly also looking at your children's toys, and stay away from ones that are marked with a 3 or a PVC. You know, and even in the bathroom, trying to avoid plastic shower curtains and going for organic cottons and cloths instead. And in the kitchen, avoiding nonstick pans, pots, bakewares, and utensils, because Teflon contains PVCs, which has also been linked to cancers and developmental problems. So use the nonstick stainless steel or cast iron. And when I made the switch from stainless to cast iron, or I'm sorry, from the coated to stainless steel, I definitely burned a few pots a few times, and I found out a good trick to do is if, you know, because you don't want to really have to double down on the butter or the oil or the whatever the cooking fat you're using, but it can get a little tricky sometimes to not get the bottom of the pan burned. But if you do end up burning a little bit, or there's some residual coating, food coating that you're having a hard time getting off, just put water in the pan and boil it for about 20 minutes, and that will eliminate that, because it can be a little bit more challenging to cook without the coated nonstick stuff. But if you do end up burning the bottom, boil water for 20 minutes, and then it'll loosen up, it'll come right off. Also try to keep the dust to a minimum. More dust means more toxins. Use a vacuum cleaner for your carpets to try and get rid of the toxins. And then there are some vacuum cleaners that have HEPA filters. And if you're going to get an air filter for your living room or for your office, I would recommend getting a HEPA air filter. Also, avoiding excess moisture in your kitchens and your bathroom, because that's where the mold will usually grow. So trying to keep things clean and dry will help prevent some of the exposure to mold. And get a shower filter. When you think about the fact that you stand under water and the water, you know, you're typically using hot water, so your pores are opening up. And so you want to make sure that the water that you're washing your body with is also clean and not exposing you to more toxins. What you can do for better drinking water, I would first recommend have your water tested, particularly if it comes from a private well or if you live near a plant that might use perchlorate. That I know that there's certain areas of the country where that's more of a problem than others. And you can get your tap water tested if you call the EPA Safe Water Hotline, and they'll help you locate a laboratory. And it's not really that expensive to do. And then once you know what's in your water, then you could, you know, get the best filter for your water. You know, sometimes the Brita filter, you know, that's relatively inexpensive, that might just be what you need, or you might want to look into a more expensive option. But you really need to know what's in your water, because you don't want to assume that bottled water actually is better. Per the FDA, it must meet the same standards as tap, but a lot of times the water is in plastic bottles. It could be sitting out somewhere. And so filtering your tap water is a really great approach to making sure you're getting hydrated rather than constantly buying tons of bottled water. And it will be more cost effective in the long run to do that. So on an earlier show, we mentioned about just how important it is to stay hydrated, particularly in the summer months as well. And just getting that stainless steel water bottle, filling it up at home with your filtered water, you're going to ensure you have a good supply of water on hand. Another thing to think about is what is on your clothing and your furniture and your carpets. And so even though it's helpful, the stain guard protection sometimes can add to the chemicals that are in your home. So you may want to look into that if you're buying a new piece of furniture or a new carpet, and even your clothing. You know, it's great to not get the stains and have it sort of bubble up or whatever, but something is making that do that is now on your skin. And so to think about really every time you add a new chemical or introduce a new chemical into your day-to-day life, to trying to kind of keep it at minimum. And also with respect to carpeting, it's better if you can to use natural fiber wool and cotton rugs. You are walking around and, you know, barefoot often on your home carpet, and, you know, your feet are absorbing. And so, again, that's exposure to more chemicals and toxins. So if you can, you know, you're keeping your floors clean and using more natural fiber and cotton rugs is a good way to go. And then when you think about our fun little furry friends that live in our home, you know, taking a look at their pet care products and, you know, wondering if what their exposure to is, or even if you're, you know, you might have switched your own body products to be more natural, but taking a look for our little furry guys too and making sure that their products aren't as harmful and don't have as many chemicals. And then on the outside of your house, when you look at the lawn and the landscaping, trying to replace toxic lawn and garden pesticides and herbicides with more natural alternatives. And most nurseries have a pretty good selection. Actually, I shouldn't say that most have a pretty good selection. What you might want to do is go on the internet before and try and find a nursery or garden store in your area that does carry the products. And I did that relatively easily earlier this summer, and I found a few in my neighborhood or my area, surrounding town area, and I was able to go there and get organic potting soil, some of the organic pest control. And my plants, my herbs are growing great, so I haven't seen a big difference in how effective they are. But when you think about the long run, especially if you're putting it on foods that you, or plants you're going to eat and consume, because then it's, you know, you're compounding the chemicals inside. And so another thing to think about is having your house checked for carbon monoxide leaks. and then also checking for the radon levels. And radon is an odorless gas that can be linked to lung cancer. And so if you have those levels checked in the house, again, you're contributing to a much better air quality that you're breathing in. And so we can reduce our risk of chronic illness by limiting our exposure to these toxins. And so that's important to think about, in that, you know, we can't necessarily prevent the, you know, absolutely 100% prevent we're going to get a disease, but there's so many ways and healthy behaviors to try and, you know, give you the best shot that you can and try and mitigate your risk. But at the same time, don't let this become an obsession, which causes a lot of stress, because that can have more of a negative impact than the toxins themselves. So, you know, you can't freak out about every household item, but just slowly trying to reintroduce, reintroduce different ways of substituting these products and making your life a little bit healthier. And so if you had to choose just one room in your home to really make environmentally friendly, you might want to consider your bedroom. And that's because we spend a third of our time in our bedrooms. And even young children, they spend nearly half their day in the bedroom, you know, when they're very young. And sleep is the time when the body really does its repair work. Muscle tissue is rebuilt and restored. And, you know, getting a good quality, restful night's sleep is really important. And so you want to make some simple changes that can improve the overall state of your bedroom. So one thing to look into is a natural mattress. And selecting an organic cotton mattress, which would be one that's made without the use of synthetic chemicals. And, you know, if you can't afford to buy a mattress is kind of a big investment, and you want to make sure, obviously, also that it's comfortable. But you might want to look at buying a mattress topper made from organic cotton and wool, and that will help. Or use a mattress cover that's made of a tightly woven barrier cloth with a pretty high thread count, and that also will help protect you from the chemicals of an unhealthy mattress. And organic cotton sheets is another way to really kind of start making your bedroom more of a toxin-free environment and contributing to that good quality of sleep. And also, again, like we talked about before with the clean air, you might want to consider putting an air purifier in your bedroom as well. Also adding some plants in your bedroom too. Candles are often pretty popular in a bedroom. And one of the problems with candles can be that the conventional candles are made from paraffin, which is a petroleum byproduct. And indoor air pollution really can be contributed to by the use of candles. And they actually also can aggravate, you know, if people have respiratory issues like asthma, it can make it a little bit harder for people to be around candles that have paraffin in them. But there are great natural alternatives that are soy and beeswax candles. So if you want to put a candle in your bedroom, which is really helpful for that relaxing state of being, try to use ones that are made from soy and beeswax. And then when you look at your furniture, a good option is to use solid wood furniture. And, you know, it can be a bit more expensive, but some of the other furniture that's not made from solid wood, you know, they have a lot more toxic glues holding them together. And so to the extent you can invest in solid wood furniture in your bedroom, that is a good idea. And also taking a look at the devices in the bedroom. You know, this is a big sort of bone of contention with people where, you know, you've got TVs and DVRs and cell phones and chargers and iPads and laptops, and there's a lot of devices in the bedroom nowadays. But, you know, there's been several studies that suggest that the radiation exposure can cause people to take longer to really reach the deeper stages of sleep and to spend less time in them, which interferes with the body's ability to kind of repair and restore. And so to the extent you can make the bedroom a device-free zone, I would encourage doing that. And trust me, it is definitely a hard thing to do to get them out. But definitely get the cell phone off the nightstand table, move the things a little bit across the room if you have to. And then that way you can to try and mitigate some of that radiation that's flying around the bedroom and have, you know, more restful, deeper sleep. And also try to keep the shoes out of the bedroom. I know we talked about keeping shoes out of the house. If it's hard to keep it, you know, out of the house, you know, if you tend to have more, you know, foot traffic, maybe make the bedroom a shoe-free zone and keep a basket of, you know, slippers right by the door so you can switch into those when it's ready. And so looking towards detoxing your bathroom, one of the best things to do, like we said before, is really just read those product labels carefully. If you find a word that's really difficult to pronounce or it ends in paraben, you know, that's probably a tip-off that the product contains a lot of toxic chemicals. And using green cleaning products in the bathroom and trying to use paraben-free cosmetics as well is a good way to make your bathroom a little bit more detoxified. So it looks like we have a caller that would like to ask a question. Caller 646, you're on the air. Would you like to ask a question?
I would.
Sure. Go ahead. And where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from the North Shore of Long Island, over in the great city of East Wollaston.
And what's your name?
My name is Don. I'm a officer. I had a question about solar.
Sorry, are you calling from a cell phone? It's cutting in and out a little bit. Oh, no. Oh, well, we've lost our caller. Okay. Well, maybe our caller with his question will call back in later. Okay. So we were just talking about detoxing the bathroom. And so now we're going to talk a little bit more about detoxing the kitchen. And so, you know, we've talked about the harmful effects of pesticides. And so, you know, don't worry too much about, you know, how you're going to get the pesticides out. One of the best ways to do that is to start a little kitchen garden. And so you can easily grow your own herbs, and you really just need some seeds, a pot, and a little sun and water. And so choosing to buy organic fruits and vegetables is another great way to keep the pesticides out of your kitchen. And it can get pricey, and so we've talked about prioritizing by, you know, taking a look at the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 lists on the Environmental Working Group and some other, you know, great resources out there. And that will give you a way to prioritize your purchases so you really make sure you're making the best choices for organic fruits and vegetables. And, you know, again, choosing those free of synthetic fragrances when it comes to household cleaners, soaps, lotions that you use in the kitchen. And when you are storing and reheating food, use those plastic containers. And, you know, we talked about the cookware as well, and we also talked about how opting for cast iron is a great approach too. Using wooden or other non-metal utensils, if you are using nonstick cookware, that will help prevent the scratches, which will help from getting in. So, you know, it's not necessarily practical if you already have nonstick potentially to go buy a whole new set of cooking gadgets. You can gradually replace things over time, but if you are using the nonstick, then use wooden or non-metal utensils to really make sure that you're not getting getting the coating into your food. When you also are thinking about your food choices and you're worried about mercury in fish, you know, you can, there's plenty of low mercury seafood selections, and at seafoodwatch.org, it's a great website to check out to help you assess what are some the lower mercury fish options. The EPA and the FDA, if you are pregnant or nursing or feeding young children, they do recommend avoiding swordfish, shark, tilefish, and king mackerel, and limiting your tuna to 6 ounces and total seafood to 12 ounces per week. So, you know, you can also consult fish advisories that your local health department issues. So, you know, fish is such a great source of omegas, and so you definitely want to make sure that you have fish in your diet, but you want to make sure that you're watching where the fish is coming from and trying to choose ones that are lower in mercury levels. And with respect to, you know, in meat and in dairy, you know, a good way is trying to buy grass-fed and organic when possible and trimming the fat from meats and poultry, because a lot of dioxins accumulate in the fat and selecting lower fat sources of protein such as chicken, fish, and tofu. And meat from grass-fed animals does tend to be leaner than meat from those raised on grains. So moving out of the home and into the office, you can really apply some of the same principles. It's hard because you have a little bit less control. But see if you can bring in a small HEPA air filter for the office to have by your desk, by your cubicle in your office. Just check with facilities or whoever your office manager is to make sure, they're not causing any problems. And, filter your water at home, bring it in a jug and drink it throughout the day. Really keep things clean. Wipe down your handsets. Wipe down the desktops with a natural hand sanitizer or those cleansing wipes. There's some great ones that smell like lavender and will hopefully maybe make your stress at work stay away. And even I sometimes will, as long as it doesn't affect any of your coworkers who might have allergies or be sensitive to smells, a little bit of an aromatherapy mist sometimes just to relax and make sure that you feel like your office environment is a clean and healthy environment to the extent that you can. So we've talked a lot about the chemicals in our physical surroundings. And what's really important is also to make sure you're healing your elimination organs in your body. And that will help you keep them strong and able to support the ability to filter out all the toxins that you're, for lack of a better word, assaulted with every day. We are just confronted with toxins and chemicals so much during our day-to-day life, but it doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to make us sick. There's a lot of things, like we're talking about today, and a lot of other things as well. If you want to do some more reading on your own or work with different professionals who can help you, change your lifestyle in your home or your office and in your diet to really make those steps. And so I recommend taking a probiotic to support gut health. It's probiotic foods have become pretty popular now too. There's certain drinks and things that you can find more readily accessible, but it's good to take a quality broad spectrum probiotic daily to really support your gut health. And you can ask your doctor about it if you work with a naturopath, or I actually was initially prescribed my probiotic by my acupuncturist, and it's great. Mine's actually a daily powder that I put in a smoothie every morning. And so a variety of health professionals can help you figure out what might be the best probiotic for you. And make sure you're getting enough dietary fiber and that you're eliminating your foods regularly and that you're not having those kinds of issues. And if you are having chronic digestive, issues or concerns, you really might want to consider visiting a naturopathic or an integrative physician and to do a hypoallergenic diet test. Not to go into too much personal information, but a few years back I was having a lot of chronic stomach issues, and I worked with an integrative physician to identify the source of the problem, which was eggs and dairy. And I had been tested for allergies before, but never food intolerance. So I wasn't allergic per se. I was just highly intolerant, and I had a hard time processing these foods. So it was messing up my digestion, and I wasn't getting all the nutrients I needed from the food I was eating. So in addition to, having stomach discomfort, I was really tired all the time. And so we worked with, once we identified that the culprit was the eggs and the dairy, we worked with an elimination diet and cut out the eggs and the dairy. And after about 3 months of doing that, I just felt infinitely better. And, I did reintroduce some cheese into my diet and occasionally eggs, just because I really like both, but I don't like the effects that it does have. And so I try to do it in moderation. But, the 3-month elimination working with the naturopath or the integrative doctor helped me really kind of reset. And I notice when I do have some eggs in there, it still does kind of affect me, but it's just something I kind of have to weigh sometimes, because when you have an allergy and there's sort of a potentially life-threatening reaction, it's a bit easier to stay away from something. But when it causes discomfort, it's a little bit trickier. And food intolerances are tricky because you don't necessarily eat something immediately and feel sick from it. They can present themselves a day or two later and how it affects your digestion system. Really just listen to your body and be in tune to your own body, because when something doesn't feel right for you, it probably isn't. And we actually are more intuitive than we give ourselves credit for or allow ourselves to be. And nourish your detoxification system. Really the best cleansing strategy is a good diet, regular exercise, and not smoking. Drink plenty of fluids daily. You know, herbal teas, green tea, warm lemon water is really a great way to start the day and get everything going. And try to consume at least one serving of the following groupings daily, so because they have specific compounds in detoxification. So the brassica foods, which include arugula, bok choy, broccoli, broccoli sprouts, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, chard, collard greens, radish, kale, mustard greens, turnips, watercress, something from that category at least once a day. The thiol foods, which are onion and garlic, foods that support liver and kidney, that includes asparagus, beets, artichokes, celery, and celery root, and detoxifying leafy greens such as beet greens, bok choy, chard, cilantro, collard greens, dandelion greens, endive, escarole, parsley, radicchio, and eat at least 8 servings of vegetables and fruit a day. And this is all really going to help nourish your detoxification system, you know, and increase blood flow and the lymphatic circulation through exercise. Exercise is a really great way also to help detoxify your body. And you can also do a skin detox. Actually, Natural Health Magazine has an easy week skin detox that you can complete over a weekend. And it doesn't necessarily involve fasting or purging or really having to do too much, like complete arrangement of your life. There's just some quick and easy things like at-home massages and facials that will help flush out waste and toxins. So there's a step-by-step routine on Natural Health Magazine where you can, you know, wake up Monday morning with a very radiant complexion from doing a quick skin detox. And overall, if you are really supporting and nourishing your detoxification system, your skin is going to look and feel so much better. Your skin is the largest organ, and so doing things that help the inside are going to show and manifest on the outside. So we've talked a lot about chemicals and detoxification on the inside. Let's talk a little bit about detoxing from clutter. So, you know, I love the author Gretchen Rubin, who wrote The Happiness Project, and she has a great blog that I read and follow sometimes. And, you know, she writes on her site that one of her great realizations about happiness is that outer order contributes to inner calm. And I think that's so true. When you look around and you feel like everything is just overwhelming and cluttered, and you know, you feel like your physical space doesn't allow you room to breathe, that is going to impact your health. And so one of the great ways to declutter is to actually get rid of stuff, not just organizing it. Moving one pile to another pile doesn't really help. You really do need to make hard choices to get rid of stuff. And so it might seem overwhelming to try and declutter your whole house all at once. I'd say declutter one room at a time. And when you do that one room, include the closets, the desks, the cabinets, before you even start on another room. So really attack one room at a time. And even if that one room takes you longer than a day, get one room where when you spend time in that room, you feel so good, and then that way it'll be easy to keep it clean, and it'll motivate you to do more. And really try not to bring more stuff into your house unless you can have the space for it. In addition to being inundated with chemicals and toxins, we're inundated with stuff. We get so much stuff we don't need, and that just creates the clutter. And so even just trying to spend 15 minutes every day to declutter, you know, when you get home, sometimes you want to, from work, you want to maybe relax a little bit before, which is fine. You know, go ahead. You need that mental downtime, or you have to start right away on making dinner, feed your family, whatnot. But at some point, if you can just set aside 15 minutes either at night in the morning and just make sure that things are, you know, keeping on top of the mail, just decluttering for 15 minutes every day. And really focus on that our value's not in the stuff. It's all just stuff. Certain things will obviously have sentimental value, and that's totally fine, and that's normal. That's part of our own human expression. But some of the stuff we accumulate, we're not attached to emotionally or sentimentally. It's just accumulating. And so, you know, get rid of stuff. And if you feel bad about throwing stuff out, then donate or sell it. There's a lot of options where, you know, something that's your old stuff that you're not using might be somebody else's treasure. So if you donate it or you put it on eBay, it's all good ways to declutter. You don't necessarily have to make everything go to the garbage pile. And so we've talked about the space, the physical space that we reside in, and how that affects our energy levels. but then also looking at how you can detox your mind and letting go of the negative thought patterns or the worry and finding time to disconnect and recharge is going to help de-stress and detoxify your mind, because your mind and your body work together. There's such a strong mind-body connection. And, you know, a lot of times what I've, you know, read about the chemistry of the brain and the stomach, there's so much connection between them. And so if your mind is clear and you're helping to detoxify your mind, then your body's going to feel better. And if your body feels better, your mind feels more at peace. So they work very closely in tandem together. And so when you think about the energy you surround yourself, choose to spend time around people that their energy makes you feel better and doesn't stress you that you need to go detox from their bad energy. And, you know, I think we all have these energy-sucking friends, and so it's so much all about them and what they need from you. And, you know, if you're not getting what you give, it might not be the healthiest relationship. So just like our environment can be toxic, relationships can be toxic. And so choosing to spend time with people that make you feel good and give you good energy is going to help your overall detoxification process. I read something that you become most like the five people you spend the most time with. So think about who those five people are that you're spending all this time with, and think about how their behaviors are affecting you. And choose those five people wisely, because that will help you feel more at peace and have more energy rather than have your energy being taken. And, you know, our daily routine can also be stressing and toxic or taxing. And so to the extent there are things you can do to make your routine a little less stressful, particularly I think a lot of people find mornings very stressful. You know, stressing over getting everybody up and out and ready can be a challenge. And so things that you can do in advance, such as packing lunches or laying out clothing or just getting everything really ready so your morning starts off in a less frenetic pace and is much calmer and more helping to contribute to a more detox state of mind and being. And another thing that, you know, I think we're all dealing with is the notion of a digital detox. I've heard this phrase a lot, and I think actually one of the life coaches on this network did a whole episode geared to that. But constantly being connected to technology can be so draining. And, you know, always being on the phone or plugged into your emails can be really draining. And so trying to set some limits, you know, after a certain hour, just trying to turn off the email, put the BlackBerry or the iPad or the iPhone or whatever device you're tethered to away for a little bit. You know, that's not always possible given some of the demands of, you know, depending on what type of occupation you have or whatnot. But if you can find the space to carve out some digital free time, I think that can be another great healthy behavior to try and incorporate into your life, because constantly being tied in is draining. And so, you know, as we think about some of the choices and the changes we've talked about today, you know, focusing on the things we can't control isn't going to help. But if we look at areas where we can identify and make changes where we can and make gradual changes, we really can work towards overall a healthier lifestyle. And so, again, there are going to be things that you can't change, or there are going to be products you just don't want to let go of, or there are going to be, you know, things that are just cost prohibitive to do right now. But figuring out where there are those opportunities to make some small, subtle changes and trying to commit to, you know, making a change and then maybe making another one and just taking it from there step by step. And at the end of the day, making that time to relax has to be more of a priority than probably most people are making it now. And relaxation is actually really, it's an active process. Active relaxation is an intentional effort to really activate the parasympathetic nervous system. And that's essential in restoring proper digestion and healing. And so that's not necessarily happening on its own when you look at the pace of everyone's daily lives right now. So trying meditation or, you know, doing relaxation breathing or going to yoga or restorative yoga class or, you know, cultivating your own practice at home if you can't make it to a class, these are all things that are really going to help in helping to build up the, you know, in letting your nervous system rest and detox and really being supported so that you can, you know, address all of these toxic things coming your way. And then taking, you know, a look at your thought patterns and, you know, are they positive and are they conducive to health or are they self-sabotaging? You know, our thoughts can be really toxic and, you know, we have a choice about how we look at things and, you know, definitely things can really be going wrong and bad and it can seem like the whole world is caving in. And yeah, you might have some toxic thoughts then and that's okay, that's allowed, but, you know, we're all allowed to feel and think what we feel and think. But, you know, studies have shown that optimists tend to live longer, and there's a correlation there because if you can reframe and flip something on its head and look at something a different way, then you're going to be promoting a healthier outlook toward it, and you're going to be having a much healthier view and feel more energized and inspired to tackle whatever problem might be facing it. So thinking about toxic thoughts as something you want to detox from, and, you know, it's really one of the most overlooked but yet important sources of stresses. We look at stresses always as being things that are inflicted upon us, but we inflict stress upon ourselves, and we have the ability to change how we respond and react to those stressors. So, yes, there will always be external stress inflicted upon us, but we can flip that on its head in how we choose to look at things and react and respond to things. And so replace those negative thoughts to the extent you can, with positive ones. You know, open up and talk about your problems that you're feeling with someone that you trust, like be a friend or a family member, or you can, you know, choose to see a therapist or a social worker. But, you know, sometimes it's helpful to reframing your negative thoughts by talking about them with somebody. You know, or write out your problems in a journal. If you're not comfortable talking with someone, then write them out. And try to avoid unnecessary worry and anxiety. Now, this is coming from someone who has been a born worrier. This does not come easily or naturally to me. But it's something that you work on and you try to practice. I mean, I know I'm always envious of friends who just seem like they don't worry. And I guess it really envy is the wrong word because we all have the capacity to get there. And so to the extent that you work to cultivate a mentality where you realize that there are so many things beyond our control. And so worrying about them is useless. You know, you can't possibly worry about everything that you think is going to happen. So why worry about some and others when you're really, you know, trying to just let that worry go? But again, I think it's something that has to be constantly practiced and reinforced. And even anxiety, I mean, anxiety can be crippling. You know, definitely anxiety is something that we all have, we all face. And so trying to instill as many healthy behaviors in our lives as we can will help mitigate that. And just simply breathing. The breath is so important. And, you know, people who practice yoga and study yoga and, you know, realize how connected the breath is to our body and to our movement and to just an overall sense of well-being. And just taking a few deep breaths sometimes, it can just be like so totally transforming. And so, you know, another way to help keep all of these things at bay and avoid letting the toxic thoughts and behaviors affect us is by keeping an active lifestyle and doing the things that you enjoy. So, you know, finding time for your passions and your hobbies and taking time out as well. I was just having a conversation earlier today about downtime gets such a negative rep. Downtime is important. You need downtime. You need time to rest, recharge, restore. And so it looks like we have a caller with a question. Let's flip over and see. Hi, you're on the air with Jen Duffy.
Called earlier, but unfortunately I got disconnected.
Hi.
And I wanted to circle back to ask a question about your views on untreated well water. Certain parts of where I live are fortunate enough to have untreated well water, but I didn't know if you considered those to be a good thing or a bad thing.
I think that is one of the things that you need to get tested and find out what is actually in the water, because that can be potentially damaging because you don't always know necessarily what's going into the water. If your water does come from a private well, there could be issues such as like chromium 6, which is a known problem. And so if you get the tap water tested, then you'll know what's in your water from mercury, lead from piping, or even pesticides. And then based on the results of that water testing, you can get a filter. I would say one that's certified by the NSF International, which is the National Safety Foundation, or the Water Quality Association. And you can pick a filter based on screening for specific contaminants.
Fantastic. Thank you. Great show.
Sure,
I love
thanks.
It.
Okay, great.
Okay,
have a good day.
Thanks, caller.
So, drinking water is definitely one of the most important things that you can do for your health and detoxification. And so, you know, like our caller and like I was talking about before, you do want to make sure that your water quality is safe and good. And so I would definitely recommend getting your water tested and then go from there. And, you know, not necessarily feeling like you have to run to buy bottled water, but filtering it and making sure that the water source in your home is of high quality and you're getting the best water you can and that you're drinking plenty of it. And that will help with your internal detoxification as well. So on that note, I think we are going to start wrapping up for today's show. You know, we were able to cover some great ground with eliminating some of the household's toxins and chemicals. And I would recommend checking out the Frank Lipman article for some more specific tips. You know, and just, you know, doing some reading on your own will help you figure out where you want to prioritize. You know, maybe you really want to start taking a look at your medicine cabinet or your bathroom and the products that you're putting on your skin and wearing and, you know, using in your mouth, and start putting in some natural substitutes there. You know, I switched from the aluminum deodorants a while ago, and I really love, I never know how to say this brand, but it's Jason or Jason, and they have one with tea tree oil. It's great. I haven't even, you know, felt the need to go back to the other type of deodorant. I really, really like that one. And then even with the moisturizers, you know, there's a lot of just really great natural moisturizers. Dr. Mercola has a wonderful organic lavender body butter. It is just like bliss on your skin. It goes on so smooth. It smells so nice. And it's really natural ingredients. So you're not slathering chemicals on your skin. Or maybe it's your kitchen and you really want to try and you do a lot of cooking and you want to slowly try to make your kitchen a much less toxic environment. And so changing your cooking utensils, changing your cleaning products, and really making sure you're buying organic fruits and vegetables and high-quality meats that are from sources where you know it's not getting a ton of chemicals or antibiotics pumped into it. And so, you know, take a look at your day-to-day life, and you know, you'll start to, I think, find maybe making one change might lead to another and then another, and just slowly go from there. And, you know, there's so much information that we are still uncovering. You know, there's not absolutes. I know people get frustrated sometimes when they read, oh, this food is good for me, and then 2 months later another study says it's bad for me. And so just like with the chemicals in our environment, more and more research is being done, more and more reports are coming out, but it's still unfolding. And so using your own good judgment and common sense and trying to keep things as simple and basic as possible will really help to prevent some of your exposure. And, you know, drinking things like fresh juices or trying to eliminate some heavy foods. And, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot of schools of thought when it comes to juice cleanses and detox diets and things like that. But, you know, try one or look into it or talk to your doctor or your naturopath or whoever you work with and do some research and do some reading if you haven't done one before. A lot of times, you know, they might just be what you know, short course type of thing. It just might make you feel better. I have a friend who, her idea of a juice cleanse was, I'm going to eat Cheetos and, you know, M&Ms, and she was not having it. And then she did her first juice cleanse, and she was like, wow, I feel really great. And it doesn't need to be so extreme, but that's always an option. Sometimes you just need a little boost and just feel like you need to reset yourself. But again, if you have any sort of underlying medical concerns or existing medical conditions, you always want to talk to your physician before you do anything, you know, make any drastic changes or do any types of cleanses or supplements, because they can have interactions potentially if you are already taking medications or being treated for something. So it's always a good idea to, you know, absolutely talk to your doctor first before you make any of these major changes. But if you don't have underlying concerns and you're just, you know, curious about learning more about detoxification, there's a lot of great resources out there. So I definitely encourage you to check it out. Dr. Mark Hyman has one on his website. That's a detox kit, and it actually comes with a lot of great information, some CDs. It's pretty low cost. I think it's only like $25 or so. Dr. Lippman, whose site I mentioned before, where I got some information about detoxifying your home, he has a detox kit. So there's a lot out there, and I think just doing some reading on your own and finding what is right for you. And, you know, like I said in an earlier show, there isn't one universal diet or solution or supplement that really works for everyone. Each person has to find what works best for them, although there are some just really core fundamental underlying premises, which are eat more whole foods, eat more fruits and vegetables, drink more water, exercise, and get good sleep. And when we boil it down, it's not that complicated. There are some pretty basic things that if you're practicing regularly and consistently, you will see your health improve. You will feel better. And so that's the goal of the Happy Healthy Hour, so that we all feel better and we feel the most energetic, happiest versions of ourselves, where we feel like our body and our mind are in harmony, and we feel like we are living the best and most true expression of ourselves. And so I want to thank everyone who dialed in, our caller with his bad connection. I'm glad he persevered and called back. And those of you on your computers at home, and those who maybe found time to download the episode at another point in time. And so I thank you, and I hope you found today's show interesting and informative and inspired you to detox your life. As always, you can contact me with any questions. I'm at Jennifer F. F as in Frank, Duffy at Gmail. So again, it's Jennifer F. Duffy, D-U-F-F-Y, at Gmail. You can give feedback at www.blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network. And you can click the follow button, and then you can send us a message. And I hope you'll check out tomorrow's show, the Super Soul Sunday Recap at noon Eastern, or Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's Spiritually Speaking with Rev Jen. And I'll be on again on August 10th, same time and same place. We'll have a whole new lineup for the show. And so that's it for today, and I'm wishing everyone a very happy, healthy weekend. Thank you.